Welcome to the WDW Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik. And I would like to say it's just me today, but it's not. I'm not joined by Michael, Stacy, or Peter. I've got a good friend to join me today, and we've got a lot to get through. But first, he is a host of a Disney podcast. He's also a writer of a... is that how you say it? Is blogger... is that a writer? Is that officially a thing? Rick, is that like a... How do we do this?
I've never thought of it much, but I write the blogs. I haven't been very active there.
So you're a writer and a blogger for Magic in the Hills, is that correct?
Yeah.
All right.
.com.
All right, well, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it. I know I'm inconveniencing you, and if you're seeing the video, you'll see how I'm inconveniencing this young man. So I appreciate it.
Young is a stretch. I'm only not that much younger than you.
Well, it still counts. So anyways, if you're watching the video right now, Rick's actually taking time out of his workday. He had to take an early morning break to record with me, so I appreciate it. So you're in the mobile studio today, is that correct?
Yes, the mobile Monorail Tales / WDW studio.
/ work truck, gotcha. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
I think we should do a road show.
Right? So I once saw a podcast. It was actually, it was the Resort Loop, where the hosts drove down to Florida. And as they were driving down to Florida for like a meetup, they literally were recording shows on the road. And like they had like a mobile microphone set up. So that was a hoot watching those guys do that. But thank you. So anyways, Rick, you are the co-host or one of the many hosts for the Monorail Tales podcast. How has that been? I mean, you signed up and you joined on about a year ago or so. Is that right, buddy?
It's been a year and a half, actually.
Okay. So tell me, like, give me the coolest thing that's happened and the, oh my gosh, what's happened. Give me both experiences since you've joined the crew.
Well, I suppose the coolest thing is, like, actually meeting people that listen to the show. Mm-hmm. You know, I met Bill Mitchell at Epcot last year, and that was really neat. And, you know, talking to some people at the Indy Disney meet last year was fun.
Yeah.
As far as the, oh my goodness, what am I doing? It's a lot of work.
Way more work than you think it would be, right, buddy?
Yes. Especially, if you're wanting to try to plan to meet with somebody while you're on vacation, because that obviously takes away time from your family vacation portion of it. Or even if you're wanting to get certain pictures or content for the podcast, I find it next to impossible to do that because I have, you know, 3 or 4 kids with me and my wife, and they're like, why are you taking pictures of trash cans?
Yeah, I get that too. You walk a fine line between trying to do stuff that you want to put out for show and for content, and also remembering your wife and kids didn't sign up to do the show. They're just on they're just on vacation. So I get that. I still struggle with that. Full disclosure, when I'm on vacation, and I still struggle with like, hey, we're going to all meet up at this place. And I'm like, yeah, let's, okay, hang on, wait a minute. I can't do that necessarily because I want to make sure my wife and kids are enjoying themselves because it's their vacation too. So I struggle with that balance myself too. So, but if it was me on vacation, Rick, would you drop everything and just come and join? Would that be it?
Absolutely. Just like dropping work.
Right? Done.
I don't need to get paid next week. It's all right.
Done. Nice. All right. So the reason why we're here today, and you know, we're going to do the what's good in our life in a little bit, but the reason we're here today is we both had experiences recently with traveling to Florida, and you've gone now, what, like 16 times since, no, I'm just exaggerating.
At least.
How many times have you gone to Florida since, I would say, the beginning of the pandemic?
We went the week before the parks closed in March. My wife and I went for her birthday for the weekend, and then we went for a week in August, the beginning of the month, and then we went for Labor Day weekend in September.
Okay, so you've been 3 times in the approximate area since the pandemic, and I've been once, though I did not go to the parks. We actually went for a different reason, but I've flown to Florida. So I guess the show, we should probably title it this. It's Travel Expectations versus Reality, in terms of traveling this time, you know, when you go to Walt Disney World, because there's a lot of people who are starting to brave the trip and do the trip. But there's a lot of concern. There's a lot of anxiety built up in that because, well, frankly, we all watch the news. So right now, we're not sure what the reality is and whatnot. So we've got some firsthand knowledge, and I figured we'd share it with people what we faced. And we come from two different backgrounds in the sense that your airport's a little smaller. You actually take you board the plane from the tarmac. Is that right? I mean, you're literally on the tarmac, and at Midway in Chicago, you know, it's not the major airport in the city. But for many cities in the United States, it would be the major airport. So we have two different travel sets. But I figure we talk about a few different parameters here. Packing, airports, the airplane, rental cars, resorts, parks, Florida, and masks in general. And just go over some of the thoughts we might have as far as what we've faced and what we actually have seen in those areas. And, you know, that way we can help anybody who's debating this trip in the future. But before that, what's good in your life? Give me the best thing going on in your life right now, buddy.
Well, life in general is pretty good. Super busy with work, which is a good thing. Yeah, I'm definitely not complaining about that. My kids finally went back to school this week. Yeah, this week they started back.
Okay.
My oldest daughter is doing college remotely because her college did not go back in person.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're healthy and doing well. You know, that's about all I can hope for.
It is a crazy version of normal right now, is it not? Like trying to go and adjust to all these schedules. We're all facing it at the same time, but it's amazing how fast people can get used to these variations in their schedule. You know, last year in February, kids go to school. They're from school until 7:30 until 4 o'clock with extended daycare, and they've got soccer and basketball and whatnot, and that's life. And all of a sudden now kids are at home 5 days a week, 3 days a week. You know, what is a Zoom meeting? I had no idea until it was required to have knowledge of what that is. But it's amazing how human beings can go in and adjust to that, which it's part of our show right now is adjusting to the new set of parameters in travel. So let's talk about the first thing. The first trip you took, actually, let's bypass the trip for you and your wife because that was still a very normal situation. Yes. But the first trip with your family and expectations versus reality, what was your packing like? Did you pack the exact same as you would? And how long was that, Rick? It was about a week, right?
It was 9 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went down there for 9 days. What did you pack in addition to what you normally would pack? Was there extra caution? Did you pack gallons of hand sanitizer? You know, what did you pack extra?
We did bring hand sanitizer, cleaning wipes. We brought mask, of course. You know, we bought, packs of disposable mask and then masks that we bought at stores and then masks that we bought on Etsy.
Okay.
I mean, we've been wearing them at home anyways, but we just wanted to have our options available, you know, so we could decide what worked best for us. Like on the plane, my wife wanted to wear a disposable mask so we could just throw it away and not worry about any germs that may be on it. Yeah, I don't know how all that works, but.
Understood.
You know, it was one last thing that we had to wash. And we did bring stuff for laundry. We usually don't do laundry, but it was summertime, so we brought extra clothes as well. You know, that's not, I don't think people really need to worry about that right now because it is probably cooling down a little bit. We had like 107 heat index almost every day we were there.
Rick, I was there a week ago. It was 94 degrees, so I'm just gonna throw it out there. The cool down is not what you think it is. So,
It's a lot cooler here. I mean, we're in the 60s.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, I'm liking it. But extra patience.
Oh, good one. Yeah, you definitely gotta pack extra patience for sure.
Not just for us, but for trying to help the kids deal with it because. you know, I work outside the home, so I was used to wearing a mask all the time, you know, doing things like that to be safe. And my wife has been to the grocery store and stuff, but our kids, usually we leave them at home.
Gotcha.
You know, because we have an 18-year-old daughter that will watch them. So they maybe only 3 or 4 times had been outside the house to a situation where they would need to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we wanted to pack extra patients for us dealing with them and then also, you know, trying to help manage their expectations.
Because you realize if they're wearing a mask for 12 hours in that stifling heat, you're going to probably have a meltdown at some point during vacation because it's for 9 days. I get that.
Yeah, and I mean, my kids are prone to meltdowns anyway, so.
Okay. Well, let's talk about things like, this is not necessarily like best practices or CDC direct advice, but when you have a mask on, and I mean, we can jump to the very last one, masks in general, but when you have a mask on, do you wear a washable mask once for the day and then wash it? Or do you try and get more mileage out of that mask and wear it for a day, day and a half? Or do you just rinse it? Or what did you guys do when it came to the masks?
At Disney World, we did rotate them out.
Okay.
You know, disposable masks, we would just throw them away. We usually wore the cloth mask. But we would switch them out every day. And I think maybe every other day, my wife may wash them. We had enough for, like, I think 3 days without having to switch them out. And, you know, sometimes when we would go to the room and then come back or go out to dinner or whatever, we would switch the mask.
Gotcha. So when I'm at work, I wear a mask for 1 day at work. I'll bring it home and I'll usually wash it that day. But I myself have been like, I actually have a spot in my truck where I hang my masks up. And then I'll leave the house the next day and be like, oh, shoot, I forgot the mask. Okay, let me grab the one from yesterday. And I know it's like, everyone's like, oh my gosh. But like, we've all done that. We've all worn a mask that hasn't been washed in the day. I've heard though in Florida, you know, and we know it's humid, that you may choose to wash it or you may choose actually to rotate several masks during the day. Did you find yourself having a need to do that just based on the humidity and the saturation of it?
No, I mean, it was super hot and we were super sweaty, but we never, the only time that we switched masks at the parks was there was once or twice where our youngest son was uncomfortable with it.
Gotcha.
You know, just the fit of it. So we you know, had extras put back in case there was some sort of issue where we would need, you know, we brought extra disposable masks in our bags.
Okay.
In case there was some sort of issue, you know, if we would have dropped it in a puddle of water or something, you don't want to put that back on.
No.
My son, he actually started, he wore them upside down because he felt it was more comfortable.
Okay. As long as it covers the old sniffer and mouth, you're okay right there. So.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you were extra sweaty. So I do know that you're working with Scentsy to patent the sweaty Rick Forbes scent, and it's tobacco and bergamot, and it's whiskey, and it's supposed to smell rather pleasing. I'm just gonna throw that out there right now. Right. That's right. Okay, very good.
Exactly. With a hint of oak.
With a hint of oak. Very good. Mm-hmm. All right. So as far as packing up like any extra clothes, though, did you pack clothes? I mean, I know you're obviously in Florida. You're sweating through like 2 shirts a day. That's just how Florida is. Did you find yourself saying, okay, as soon as I come back to the room, I need to do a fresh change of clothes every time, or did you have any extra precautions as far as that goes?
Usually what we would do, we would go to the pool.
Okay.
You know, we would change out of our clothes and put on our swimming clothes, and, you know, just kind of, I guess, let the chlorine, you know, take care of it. We didn't shower before we went in the pools or anything like that. When everything started, I would come home, take a shower, and change my clothes.
Yes.
But now I don't. I mean, I still, it's not such a priority to where I have to do it as soon as I walk home. You know, I'll eat lunch or, you know, something first before I take a shower and change clothes. And that's just, you know, because it's hot.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I don't want to smell bad.
Understood. So, yeah, and that's because right now, as we're recording the show, which is very early in October, the numbers across the country had come down. They're starting to go back up just slightly in certain states, but they're releasing restrictions. Like in Florida, Ron DeSantis made a proclamation about a week ago, a little less than a week ago, that they were going to phase three and that restaurants and bars were back to full capacity. You were no longer going to get fined for wearing your mask and all kind of stuff. But the concern now is that people might take it too cavalier and the numbers would go back up. But, you know, your comments are shared by people. You're still vigilant. You're still diligent. You're still taking precautions. But you also got to realize that you still need to carry on with your life and do the normal things you have to do at this point by still taking precautions. So I get that. What about like the airport? Tell me about your airport. Give me some expectations versus reality. What did you think you were going to face before you walked into that airport? What did you think? Were you nervous? Were you anxious? What's going on there?
Well, we weren't. Well, I guess a little bit. We were. That was probably the most nerve-causing part. I wouldn't say nerve-wracking because we weren't like terrified or anything. But that was where we worried the most. It was a lot busier, and by busier, I mean busier by our terms.
Okay.
You know, because the airport that we usually fly, we have two airports where I live as well. One of them is a little bit bigger and it does fly directly to MCO, but the flights are more expensive.
Okay.
The one we went to has two gates. One gate is for like FedEx.
Okay.
So nobody ever goes out that. And then the other gate is for Allegiant. And like you said, we do have to walk outside to board the plane. So it's just one big room. And there were a lot more people than what I had expected to actually. I mean, nothing really changed. Security was the same, except, you know, you wear a mask.
Okay.
And they say, when they check your ID, they're like, I need you to pull your mask down so I can verify that it's you.
Did they take your temperature at all?
No.
Okay. They did not take the temperature for us as well, too. So you're a cooler customer than I am, because I'm going to be honest. When we boarded our flight, which we just took in the middle, late part of September, I was terrified. I was terrified of the whole experience, and I'm a seasoned traveler. But after you sit at home and you don't take that trip for a while, you know, your mind starts racing of what you're going to face at the airport. And so, yeah, it was a lot to take in. And right now people are listening being like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine going to the airport. So just to describe what Midway's like, Midway Airport in Chicago has three different concourses, an A, B, and a C. And Southwest is the major player at Midway Airport. They also have some United flights, some Delta flights. They have some flights that go to Mexico, but they're large concourses. Each concourse has got 35, 36 gates. So you're talking like, I mean, maybe not A might have a little bit less, but you're talking 70 gates at least at Midway Airport. I was terrified. I didn't know what I was going to expect at TSA. I didn't know about the temperature reading. I thought, oh my God, what if I get there and I'm running a slight fever? I feel great. So like completely panicked in the situation, completely panicked on spacing, completely panicked on whether people are going to wear masks. And I'm sure there are people listening that are going through the same thing. So here's what I faced in Chicago. As soon as you walk in, there's a heavy presence of safety precautions. There are stickers on the floor. There are stickers in the windows. There are announcements. There are billboards. There are, you know, posters about social distancing and spacing and masks required. There were people assigned at the airport just to make sure that was being abided to. I did not see anyone at the airport that had, you see the occasional sniffer, you know, poked out of the mask, but everyone was wearing a mask. No one was making a social or political statement. It wouldn't be tolerated. The police are there to go and enforce that as well, too. As you wait in the line for TSA, there's spacing every 6 feet, and people play by the rules. People are cautious right now. You're not getting within 6 feet. And if you do, if you turn around, I think the person realizes pretty quickly when you give them the look, not even the look of death, just the look, they're like, oh, ooh, I'm sorry, let me back up. And it's pretty much the accepted norm. you go through, you give the TSA agent your passport or your real ID or your driver's license. Real IDs are not required until 2021 now. They put that off for a year because people couldn't get the exchange done with the pandemic. And
okay.
You're right. They scan it up. They're behind plexiglass. They have you pull your mask down and say, just want to verify. You're good to go. I actually found my TSA agent to be like surprisingly like jokey and in a good mood. We flew out very early in the morning. Take your shoes off, take your bags, put it in the scanner. It was painless. Like when I went through there, I was like, huh, that wasn't so bad. You get a little confidence. Mm-hmm. Then you walk through the airport, and I would tell you that if 100% was the running total of the busiest day in the airport as far as restaurants, shops, popcorn places, it was operating at maybe a 25% open rate as far as stores go. A lot of stuff was closed down. But even the ones that were open, they mm-hmm. were enforcing social distancing. They were being very careful. The people at Dunkin' Donuts, Rick, it's the first coffee I've had out since March 14th. No joke. I haven't had a coffee out. They were wearing masks. They were wearing gloves. We saw them switch out gloves between each order. And I felt really comfortable in that environment.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was okay with it. But talk about your airplane then. As you board the airplane, what was your expectation versus your reality as far as that goes? Mm-hmm. Did it meet your cleanliness standard? Did you wipe down the seat? Did you have any extra concerns? Did they do a temperature? What was that like?
They did not take our temperature. Prior to making our, well, we already had our flights, but prior to deciding that we were going to fly, definitely, Allegiant had said that they weren't booking their planes for more than, I think, 65%. But then they changed it to where if they were booked more than 65%, that you could call the airline and they would let you know
okay.
that it was booked that highly. I didn't expect it to be as full as what it was, but it was more than 65% full.
Okay.
They boarded. They normally board, like Allegiant credit card holders and military people first, which they still did. But then after that, instead of the normal boarding groups, they boarded from the back of the plane forward, I guess, to limit, the amount of people that you have to pass.
Okay.
We were in the back of the plane, so we boarded pretty early. And one thing that surprised me is that they did have, we were a party of five, and the seats on the plane were three an aisle and then three on the other side of the aisle. They actually did have a person sitting with my wife and daughter, or my wife and son.
Wow.
So that was kind of surprising to me.
Okay.
And once everybody boarded the plane, they did give the option for single passengers to move to a different seat.
Okay.
If they wanted to, but the person that was back there didn't move. So
okay.
My wife and son were kind of like scooched over.
Okay.
Just because she felt kind of weird about it.
Yeah, exactly. Did they give you guys anything? Masks, sanitizing wipes? Did they give you anything when you?
They gave us a packet. It was a mask, gloves, a sanitation wipe. And they gave it, for every person that was on the flight,
okay.
So we could wipe down our armrests and the little table in front of us. One thing that also surprised me was, I've heard that Southwest is like only giving out, I don't know, pretzels and water. Mm-hmm. But they did the whole gamut of drinks, alcoholic beverages, soda, snacks, candy during the flight.
Okay. I can speak to Southwest. So I can talk about that in a second. Did you feel unsafe at all during the flight, or was it about what you expected? Did you encounter anybody with, some fool taking his mask off or trying to make some kind of, issue out of it?
No, there wasn't any issue like that. They did very clearly have signs that masks were required.
Okay.
No exceptions. So as far as that goes, it was fine. On the flight back, or on one of our flights back, you know, we've been twice. I did see a couple men that would take their mask off, and then they were asked to put it back on, and they did. But then when the stewardess or steward was gone, they like pulled their nose out again or whatever.
Gotcha.
But other than there wasn't anybody, you know, like saying that they weren't going to wear their mask or being upset about it. They were just not being as cautious as what we were, you know, because we did not, you know, pull our mask down or anything while we were on the plane.
Okay. So you don't let that, I know your story right there, people might think, oh, that's it. Don't let that dissuade you, because no matter where you live, if you've gone to your neighborhood Piggly Wiggly or Kroger or wherever you shop, you're going to encounter the same people that do that there as well, too. So let's be honest, it exists there. Most of these airlines are taking extra precautions. Southwest itself has, you know, a link on there of what they're doing for COVID-19. And what they're doing is, you know, the extra aircraft cleaning and cabin environment, electrostatic disinfectant spray. The cabin gets filtered every 3 minutes, completely in exchange of air. They are not putting people in the middle seats. So with Southwest, they have a program where you can literally buy your boarding pass with an extra fee anytime you want, up to your time of booking to your time of flight. If you choose not to do that, you select your boarding pass 24 hours in advance. So you go on literally on the 24th hour, like to the minute of when your plane leaves, and you get your boarding pass. Once you get your boarding pass, you are assigned a spot to board the plane. But since they're only filling planes at half full right now, roughly, you're going to get a respectable seat. So we didn't choose to go and buy the boarding pass early. We just chose to print it out 24 hours in advance. Actually, we put it on our phones. When we boarded the plane, we decided, as soon as we hit the front of the plane, people were stacked up. Yes, middle seats, but people were like dying to get into the first few rows. And me and my daughter were like, this is insane. We're going to always sit in the back of the plane. So we walked to the back of the airplane. By the time they filled the plane to its 50% mark, there was nobody. Two rows in front of us, two rows to the right and in front of us. We literally weren't within 12 feet of any people on this plane, with the exception of the occasional person walking back to the bathroom. So my tip is, do not sit at the front of the plane. I know there's a rush afterwards to try and get your stuff and get off the plane as soon as possible, but you're literally sitting amongst a bunch of other people. Go to the back of the plane. That fills last. It always does. People are nervous about sitting in the back of the plane. My daughter and I sat there in complete comfort. Yes, we wiped the chairs down with our own packet of sanitizer. We had our masks on. It's strictly enforced. But sit away from everybody. Go to the back of the plane. We had no problems whatsoever. Southwest is giving cookies and water. They will not do the drink service. They will not do the liquor service. They will not do more than that. But if you wanted to bring food onto the airplane, you could. You could eat it. And you were allowed to take your mask down at the point of eating something on the plane. But when you're not actively eating or drinking, put your mask back up. Nobody on either flight was disrespectful to that sentence. So that was not an issue for us whatsoever. So, yeah. Go ahead, buddy.
No, I do have a story about that when you're done.
I'm done. It's yours.
Okay. On our flight back home from our trip in September, we arrived and we had to sit on the tarmac for, it was almost 45 minutes before they let us deplane. And we sat there, I think, maybe for like 15 or 20 minutes before they said anything. And then, you know, they announced that there was some sort of issue and that we were going to have to wait until the other plane pulls out. That's why we couldn't pull in and deplane. And they then came on and said, we normally wouldn't tell you this, but they had to remove a person from the flight. Security had to remove a person from the flight. And when we were leaving, they had, for some reason, they had people doing the toll out of the parking lot instead of self-service. And those people were talking and said they couldn't believe that there was a person. He was removed from the plane because he wouldn't wear a mask.
Oh, boy.
So it wasn't on our flight, but it did affect us because we had to sit there for 45 minutes.
Gotcha.
Waiting to leave. And that was kind of crazy. I was like, I can't imagine, you know, being like that, paying money for a flight. And you know, what if he is with the family?
Yeah.
You know, because it was a flight to Orlando.
So, not making this a political discussion right now, you as a consumer are well aware of the rules anywhere you go, be it Wendy's, be it Checkers, be it Allegiant, be it Walt Disney World, or Lowe's home improvement stores. You know the rules beforehand. And so the girls that do that to make statements and whatnot, I just don't understand it at this time. America's tolerance is like zero from this point forward, and our patience are worn down. Pay attention to the rules, because whatever he got, that dude deserved, and I'm not afraid to say it right now. Whether you are a mask wearer or not, whether you believe in it or not, whatever, it's up to you. But the company's rules are the company's rules. So, yeah, whatever you got, you deserved. Have fun, you know? And he made Rick have to go pee really bad, and he couldn't get off the plane, and then he was just in trouble, and he had to go to the airport, but it all ended up okay. Let's talk about rental cars, all right? So you landed, and you had to rent a car. Is that correct? Or did you take some kind of transportation, buddy?
The first trip, we had a car service take us to the resort. The reason for that is because none of the rental places are open past midnight. Okay. And our flight wasn't arriving until 11:45.
And this is not Orlando. This was Sanford. Is that right?
Sanford, right.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, and they didn't have the option to, I don't know, scan and go or whatever you want to call it, to where we could do everything and then just get the keys while we were there.
Okay.
So we did have a car service take us to the resort, and then the next day the car care center picked me up and I got a rental car. The second trip, we rented a car because our flight was earlier and, you know, drove from Sanford to Disney World.
Understood. Did you wipe the car down when you entered the car, or were you confident that the rental agency had sanitized the car for you?
They said it was clean and sanitized, so we took them at their word.
Okay.
It was midnight, so we were just, by the time we got done and left, so we were just kind of anxious to go.
We did wipe the car down. Now, we didn't spray it with Virex or any kind of solution, but we did have our pocket of sanitizing wipes, and me and Lucille sprayed down the seats, or wiped down the seats, the dash, the steering wheel, the, you know, the shift change, the buttons of the radio. We try to wipe down the car as best that we could. But Alamo does also have a program in place on their website, and they did extra sanitizing as well. Nothing unexpected there, nothing dirty there. We felt pretty confident the vehicle we got was relatively clean. Even when we loaded our luggage, you can usually find if the vehicle has been tidied up really well and vacuumed. It looked and smelled like a brand new vehicle, even though it had 19,000 miles on it. So we were relatively comfortable, but we took our extra precautions.
Yeah, we rented from Alamo both times as well.
Okay. What about the resort? Expectation versus reality. When you walked into the resort as far as check-in goes, expecting social distancing markers, expecting this security team to escort you to your room, or what did you think and what did you get?
Well, we did online check-in both times.
Okay.
So we didn't have any reason to go to the front desk. The first trip, we stayed at Pop Century. So we did go through the lobby, but again, it was about 1:30 in the morning, so there weren't any people there.
Social distancing, not a problem at 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
Right.
No worries there.
Okay.
But it was kind of unusual because even at that time of night, you do see people checking in, that would have been coming in if there were more capacity, but they did have their social distancing markers. They had signs up everywhere about wearing a mask and, the different rules and requirements.
Okay.
They, we went straight to our room both times, and the rooms are always clean. We've never had an issue with a room not being clean, but we could tell a difference, because they had the remotes wrapped up in plastic, and they had a sign showing like a drawing of a room and the different points that they were taking to try to make it extra safe. So, the different things that they were doing.
So this is the part of the show where people are like, this is what's going to get me, like, in my mind. Is the room clean and sanitized? And so there's two routes you can go here. You can do your research. You can research Wyndham, La Quinta, Disney Resorts, Universal Resorts, anywhere. And you could look at what they're doing and just believe and understand they're doing the best job they possibly can to sanitize the room. And you could take out your sanitizing wipe and wipe down anything you feel concerned about. Or this could be a moment of paralysis because you think to yourself, you're going into a room, it's going to become your place, but is it really clean to the start? So you've got to have a little bit of a leap of faith right here. And even in a non-COVID environment, you think about the room, what the germs it could be. You are always taking a leap of faith. The room's been cleaned and sanitized for you, even in the best of times. But depending on where you travel and like your vacation destinations, I would tend to think that Walt Disney World, who is taking this oh so seriously because their public image is at stake for anybody considering that the room would be dirty, this would be, as far as travel goes, like the safest travel environment and the safest resort options. I'm not saying don't wipe down the controller if you feel nervous, or the TV or the doorknobs or the light switches or whatnot, but if this is a sticking point for you, that's okay. The Walt Disney World will be there when you're comfortable, but as far as you go on this trip, I would have been comfortable walking to that room, maybe taking a quick sanitizing wipe to like the high touch areas, but that's it. I wouldn't have given it a second thought whatsoever, knowing the kind of care and effort and public image they want to portray, because right now all businesses desperately need tourism to come back. So if you have to reassure me by doing double duty as far as sanitizing, that's what Disney's doing right now. They're doing steps that not a lot of other people are doing. Universal is doing that as well, too. So, safe in those environments, I would consider that. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
One thing that they noted was that instead of daily house cleaning, it was more along the lines of a DVC schedule,
mm-hmm.
Where they would come in on the fourth day.
To keep the body, to keep the movement outside the room, it's just your family inside the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we requested towels because I can't reuse towels. I think it's disgusting.
Oh, that's your hang up, huh? So you couldn't use the same towel. Well, obviously with a family, you're not going to do it, but you can't use the same towel more than one day, Rick?
I do not like to do that, no.
Even if it smells like bergamot, tobacco, and oak, you can't do that, no?
Nope.
Okay.
The towel just feels different.
Very good. Okay. So you request extra towels. Do they give you any issue bringing that stuff up to you? Do they knock on the door? Right. Do they just leave it? How do they get that to you?
They did it both ways. If we were not in there, they left them.
Okay.
If we were there, they knocked on the door and we took them. One time when we were not in the room, they brought us, oh my goodness, I think probably about 16 towels.
They brought the whole cart and just parked it outside the room. Did you tip? I know you tip. Did you tip heavier than you normally would tip in a situation like this?
I tipped pretty much everybody heavier than I would And I like to consider myself as a good tipper anyways. But, you know, I just think that the cast members and, you know, anybody that we came into contact with that would be a tipping situation, I tried to do extra, you know, what I could.
It's a good train of thought, and I'm not preaching like I'm like smarter than everybody else, but have several $5 bills and a bunch of singles in your pocket. And if it costs you an extra 20 or 25 bucks for the day or 30 bucks for the day, the people that are trying to work with you right now are literally out there. And I'm firsthand working in the recreation and like entertainment industry myself. It is not what you think it is right now. Guests have some crazy expectations, and there are some really bizarre interactions. They are trying to make your vacation as normal as possible. They're trying to provide you a good time. Don't be afraid to show them. It goes a long way, man. Getting in that extra $5 bill in your hand, oh, that's like night and day. It's like, yes, I feel good about that. So please do that. All right, let's take you to the parks then, buddy. So I don't have any experience in the parks. I did not go. I went to the Springs, so I could talk there, but it's relatively the same. So let's talk about the parks, expectations versus reality. Did you think it was going to be dead quiet or 4th of July busy? Did you think it was going to be mobbed? Did you think it was going to be shoulder to shoulder? Or what did you think and what did you get?
I expected it to be less busy, which in August it was. It was in September as well, to be fair, but it was busier in September for Labor Day weekend than it was in August.
Okay. I saw your picture of the busier. Springs of the cars to the Springs, and that was pretty insane.
Yes, that was crazy.
Okay.
It was busier on weekends, both in the parks and at the resort. So Hollywood Studios is the only one where we felt the need to be there at opening, you know, because of Rise of the Resistance.
Okay.
So that was the only one where we really ran into a large crowd coming in.
Gotcha.
We were at Magic Kingdom twice. We got there, I think about 8:30, and there were people there, but it wasn't anything like you would have ever expected to be like normal.
It's hard to equate that because people's minds right now go to Magic Kingdom and they immediately go to their summer vacation and they're talking like 50,000 people. They're talking like, oh my gosh, you know, so it's hard. So imagine like an off peak February 8th day that's cool. Would that be equatable in your mind to like what the crowds would be, Rick?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's raining.
Okay.
So add that to it.
Okay.
I mean, we got there at 8:30. Normally, the line for Magic Kingdom would be insane. And we did walk all the way down to the last tap style near where you would get on the monorail.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the first people in line.
Okay.
There. You know, there were people at the other ones, but they asked us to go down there. And we walked in the park. They had, you know, cast members lined up and down Main Street. And they open. They don't always open at 8:30. I think it's just when they have a certain amount of people starting to accumulate. Because I've seen, you know, some people have opened up at like 8:45 or whatever. But we went straight back to Mine Train and rode it twice and got on Winnie the Pooh before 9 o'clock.
Okay. Temperature checks anywhere along the lines here, Rick?
Yes. Every park had a temperature check, and they're not Disney cast members. They're Advent Health employees. But they were every bit as friendly and with their greetings and interactions as Disney cast members. It was really quick. You know, they had like tents set up and like four people in each tent. So, you know, they were guiding people, say, you know, please go to this person, please go here. temperature check, and then security. They were like, don't take anything out of your bag unless you have a metal water bottle or an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had you, you walk through the metal detectors.
Gotcha. Temperature checks super. As well at the springs too, Rick. They did the exact same thing there. It's,
yes.
It's organized. It takes less time than to scan the magic band. You know how it does this little circle dance for like 2 seconds?
Yeah.
It takes less time to do the temperature check because that is almost an instantaneous reading of your forehead. Bam, gone. You know, done, done, done. I mean, it's pretty smooth and pretty organized. And you're right. They were really good. They were super friendly. Agreed there. In between rides, did they sanitize the ride vehicle?
Every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours they sanitize it.
Is what their schedule was.
Okay.
And they didn't make announcements like over the general intercoms. But if you were waiting in line and they were doing a cleaning cycle, they did announce to the people waiting in line through the intercom that they were cleaning. It happened to us 2 or 3 times, not very often. But like Cali River Rapids, we had to wait, I think maybe it's close to 30 minutes for them to go through the whole cycle of cleaning the rafts.
Well, I had to drain all the water and refill all the water too, right? In half an hour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. So yeah, this is where you have to realize you are going to a theme park. You made the conscious choice to go to a theme park during this time. So even best practices are like, hey, even if you get off the ride, like go wash your hands or sanitize your hands. Bring those little bottle of hand sanitizers. Sanitizer now is not rare. Back in April, it was rare. It had a higher commodity than gold practically in the United States. But now you can find it anywhere. It's at CVS, it's at Walgreens, it's at Target. It's anywhere now. As long as it's above a certain percentage of alcohol, it's considered safe and usable. The exact percentage, I'm not the CDC, but like 70%, 65% is like the number. So yeah, use your best practices and your best thought. So, and again, if you're listening and you're like, you're out, I'm like, I'm just not doing this. It's okay. It's perfectly fine. We're not trying to convince you. We just wanted to share our experiences because there are a lot of people that are on the fence right now. And Rick, you were brave. I mean, you went in August and then you went back in September. For me to take the trip I took to Florida, it took a little intestinal fortitude to get on the plane. And I'll be honest, I've been nervous for that trip like I hadn't been in years. I was less nervous to go to Paris and make the connection in foreign. This was more nerve-wracking because it was just the unknowns. It was the, you know, it was what are the expectations going to be? Which brings us to our last point. Let's talk about Florida in general. So if you've watched the news, you knew at one point Florida was like, it's still one of the top 3 or 4 states as far as like general overall numbers. And they had several days that were in the tens of thousands. We're talking like 12,000, 14,000. They peaked at 15,000 plus cases per day. Florida right now is almost the exact same as the state of Illinois. And, you know, they've had days where there's been 700. They had days where there's been 2,000. I'm not going to scare anybody. Those are just simply the facts and the numbers. In my mind's eye, what I didn't quite realize is how big the state of Florida is. You have any idea what the population of the state of Florida is, Rick? Just ballpark?
I believe it's 21.4 million people.
Well, dang it, Rick. You looked up those numbers on me. Yes, 21.48 million people. Let's give you a comparison. Rick, you live in the state of West Virginia, home of hot dogs and coleslaw together in this bizarre combination. How many people live in the state of West Virginia?
1.8 million.
Okay, 2 million people. So the state of Florida is 10 times as populous, more, 11 times as populous as the state of West Virginia. I live in the state of Illinois. We're 12.4. It's not quite half, but it's almost double the size and the population of the state of Illinois. So when you consider a number is like 2,000 or 3,000 compared to the state of Illinois, which is well like 2,000 right now, it's not quite as like intimidating when you lay out the numbers. Now, still, it's a lot of people. But I wasn't quite sure because Florida's got a reputation, you know, hashtag Florida. You know, things are kind of different down in the state of Florida. So I'll go to you second, but I'll go first because I didn't travel to Florida to a tourist destination. I actually went to a residential area and I've been to Lowe's. and I had to get gas at Wawa. Big surprise, people. And I went to Publix, you know, and I was driving on the expressway. So I just wasn't sure what I was going to face. This is what I faced in Florida. Everyone was respectful of the masks, like the state of Illinois. Every store had masks are required, like the state of Illinois. Everyone was doing their best to kind of stay away from people and be respectful. And there were hand sanitizer pumps at all the locations and the gas stations and the stores, just like the state of Illinois. So the only time I encountered actually people that weren't wearing masks were people walking on the street or like guys that were like cutting grass or like a service industry where, you know what, when I look outside in my neighborhood, they're not wearing masks like me when I'm walking out on the street as well, too. I found nothing different in the state of Florida that I would have in my own state. And any fears that I would have had simply just vanished. And I even called my mom and my wife and FaceTimed them and be like, okay, anything that I was concerned about, I shouldn't have been as concerned. Now, I went in full bore like you, had sanitizers and masks. I didn't wear any gloves. And I was just cautious. You would be completely safe in that environment. Now, I'm not saying you couldn't catch this, but if you were concerned about what you're facing and getting into, you shouldn't be. People are living their life like you are. They're going to the store like you are. They're doing the same kind of precautions like you are. So if you're concerned at all that Florida's rogue and just doing what they want to do, it isn't true. Now, that being said, today is early October. You know, no one knows what the next 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks are going to hold for anybody. But as the current state of the travel industry right now, I found myself perfectly comfortable and safe taking a Southwest flight. I have another one coming up very soon. Perfectly safe flying out of Midway. Perfectly safe renting a car. Perfectly safe traveling and doing work in the state of Florida. Perfectly safe at Disney Springs. I actually met up with Scott Ferrioli and his son, and we hung out for a couple hours. Scott's one of my really good friends. You know, we had no problems. We were all wearing our masks. We saw the occasional knucklehead going to the bathroom, taking their mask off, putting it back on, whatever the case is. But you know what? You're going to get that where you live too as well. I guarantee it. In any state that you live in or in any country that you live in, you're going to get that as well too. What was your experience in the state of Florida?
In the Disney bubble, there were no issues.
Okay.
Everybody wore masks, like you said. There were even we, not me, but the girls, got up to go to the bathroom and we're like, don't forget your mask. And they're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I forgot. So you know, that can happen to anybody, but they didn't really get away from the table or anything. We did go outside the bubble once. That road that you can get to from Animal Kingdom, I don't know what it's called.
Sherbeth.
192 maybe.
Sherbeth Road, yeah. Takes you to 192.
Yeah. And you know, we'd never actually been there purposely. Well, we took a wrong turn and got there once. But we went to get pizza.
We're in a strange land. Get us back home. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went to get pizza one night. And my wife is like, look at all these restaurants. We should come out here and eat. The kids would probably do better. Because one issue with the mobile ordering at Disney is you can't customize your food.
Okay.
So my wife doesn't like onions, so if the sandwich had onions on it, we could ask for no onions.
Mm-hmm.
My son doesn't. He likes his food not to touch, so we couldn't, you know, order his food in a way that it wouldn't touch.
Okay.
You know, things like that. So she was like, we should try that. And then when I was inside getting the pizza and I came back into the car, she's like, I think we'll just stay at Disney.
Okay.
Because there, and we went to Wawa to get some drinks. And that, my experience at that Wawa was totally different than yours, because there were people not wearing masks.
Okay.
But also that area, I think, was much more tourist than residents, not necessarily.
100%. 192 is definitely a tourist area, Rick, and you get people from all over in those tourist mm-hmm. areas. Absolutely. That is true. I was not in that area. But yeah, I guess it's up to like the person's, you know, personal tolerance level. But yeah, definitely 192 is an adventure and can be an adventure. So know what to
expect. And International Drive.
Yeah, know what to expect there as well.
We went to eat there, and everybody had masks on, but the social distancing wasn't really happening the way we were used to it, you know, with Disney.
Well, that's the good thing about a rental car, is that if you have a rental car and you're in that environment, you're the consumer, you can go mm-hmm. anywhere you want. You know, you don't got to go there.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's not an issue whatsoever. You can decide to take it or to not. So, very good there.
Yeah, that was like my number one good decision, was to rent a car on both trips, because we weren't subject to the limitations of Disney transportation, mm-hmm. and we weren't stuck to where we had no other options, and we were able to make, you know, different choices based on the fact that we were able to go other places if we wanted to.
Great point. Because the one thing we didn't talk about was the Magical Express or the bus transportation, monorail, stuff like that. And at that point, I can't report on that. I'd be lying if I said we had experience with that. But you're exactly right. For that one little peace of mind, knowing that I could go as I wished, and I'm a car renter in the first place, but especially now, waiting by the bus stop, waiting for the bus, waiting to board the bus, that just would bring a little extra anxiety to anybody at this point. So it is a good decision. I did the exact same thing too as well. But again, we didn't go to the parks, but for like the springs and whatnot. But I could definitely see, even in a non-environment, a non-time, like when people are sick, I get that too as well. Outstanding. Rick, let me ask you two questions before you go, okay? And you've been kind enough to give me some of your time today. Would you hesitate at all booking a trip for, say, 3 weeks from now, knowing what we know about everything we've talked about, traveling to Walt Disney World?
No, and I wish I could.
No, and you wish you could.
But our schedule doesn't allow it.
Okay. Here's the other question. If you couldn't fly, if you had to drive, would you be concerned about driving to Florida right now? I'm assuming your drive is probably about 14 hours or so, give or take. Is that right? Somewhere around there?
It's 12 straight through, but it takes us about 14 with bathroom breaks and things like that.
Of course. Well, would you have any hesitation driving, and you're passing through where? You're passing through Tennessee? You're passing through Georgia?
No. It's West Virginia, Virginia, North, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida.
Gotcha. See, in my mind's eye, we take 24 to 75, so I apologize. Mm-hmm. Any hesitation at all passing through those states to drive to Florida? Because people are like, okay, I need to drive now, which is valid.
No, we wouldn't have any hesitation. We would make changes. We would probably do drive-throughs. Normally, you know, we'll stop and eat. You know, get out, stretch our legs, go in and, you know, sit down or whatever and eat. But we would most likely do drive-thrus instead, you know, just to avoid the inside restaurants where we're not sure what's going on. And, you know, gas station, pay at the pump. Probably would try to, like, stick to a Target or something that we know is really clean for bathroom breaks.
Yeah, that's a valid point. You could also pack up a cooler with sandwiches before you leave too, and completely eliminate that factor as well. If you wanted to. So, okay. So I guess our purpose today was, you know, if you're sitting at home and you're debating this trip, there's a lot of additional anxiety that you have. There's a lot of things going through your mind that you wouldn't normally have in a Walt Disney World trip. And let's be honest, even at the best of times, a Walt Disney World trip is magical. And it's completely anxiety filled in the first place, because so many things need to happen. But, you know, we're both reporting back that it was a safe environment. But it's cool if you're not ready for that. It'll wait. It'll be there when you are ready, and this will pass. So, but if you have any additional questions, Rick and I are both in EDCOT, but we also have our own Facebook pages. Rick's one of the best guys and kindest dudes I know on Facebook. So if you have any questions, send him a direct message. Send me a message. Join us in EDCOT. Join us on, you know, on the Monorail Tales. You have a Monorail Tales page, Rick, as well, too?
Yeah, we have a page in a group. You can just search Monorail Tales and find us there.
Gotcha. Bill Mitchell's there. Steve is there. Sheila's there. Michael's there. I'm there. So, I mean, feel free, if you have any questions, join us there. Join us at EDCOT. And we're happy to answer them because, yeah, we all are going to get through this together, and we're all going to go and not only survive, we're going to thrive. So, any last thoughts, buddy?
Nope. People just need to do their research and make the decisions that are right for them and their families. So,
sounds good.
Yeah.
All right.
Just like any other time.
you know what I was going to say? The only thing that you're not prepared for is, did you go to the Character Warehouse, Rick? Because we did. You know the outlet store on Vineland there? Did you end up over there?
It wasn't open when we went in August, and we didn't have time in September.
Rick, we walked up on a very, very quiet day, on the day we were leaving, and you need a reservation to shop. We didn't know this. So, you know, tourist mistake. We walked up, and the woman said, no problem. What's your name? What's your email address? What's your phone number? And I gave her all the information, and I said, how long do you think? It'll be a couple hours. Oh, do you want to keep the reservation? I said, you know, actually, no, ma'am, I don't. I actually don't even have the time. So we went shopping at Gatorland. Yay me, you know. But prepare yourself for that. Of course, that could change with the orders from the governor in the Florida as well, too. So anyways, from my buddy Rick from the Monorail Tales podcast and for myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us. And again, reach out to us if you have any questions. We're here to help. Bye, everybody.
Absolutely. Goodbye.